Director, does this fiscal note include the step increases that each get? It does.
The way that the...
Where does it show it in this spreadsheet that I have?
Well, the assumption is that there were 225 employees per budget. There's currently 219. To kind of factor into for any attrition, I put in this 4% vacancy rate, which the previous finance director used as well, and was in a number that I thought made sense. The step increases are built actually into the budget. Everything is built from this year's budget.
And does this fiscal note that we have in front of us, does it include sick days?
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Thank you. First, thank you for actually standing up and answering some questions.
Okay.
First thing I want to do is enter into the record several attempts to ask these questions prior. Was repeated that we have total confidence in the notes. So let me ask you a couple of questions more of, just to see completeness and accuracy. All right, let's start with completeness. That's a real easy one. So when we look at the clothing allowance, why is there no clothing allowance in fiscal year 27 or 28?
This note is about the increase from year to year. Mm-hmm. So they only get an increase on the first year, not the second year and the third year. It's just the first year. So it's not added on top of that.
Okay. All right. Even though it's an additional dollars.
But they don't get an additional increase in the other years.
Right. So your base salary of $19 million, so I'm looking at second column, base salary of $19,597,831. Where did that number come from?
Budget.
Yeah. Before or after the increases?
Pardon?
Before the increases or after the increases?
Before.
Before? Okay. If you look at the budget, that's actually the after. The before number doesn't represent that. So let me get that for you. So when you look at page 23 of 35 of the Uniform Fire budget of 2025-2026, the annual allowance for that fiscal year is $19,597,831. So that would equate to, that was after.
That was before the raise per contract. This was no raise. I fact-checked it by pulling current salaries for current employees. Yeah.
But the budget, what was in the budget that we approved?
Yes.
Was $19,597,831. So you're telling me that the budget number that we approved in May is lower than what your projections are?
What? Our budget is 19... 597.
Yep.
Yep. That was without the, I'm sorry, did you actually find a typo? No, you didn't find a typo, because the 26 base on July 1st without raises is that amount. And I went and proofed this all out so you're on page 23 of the personnel supplement.
Yep, 23.
Mm-hmm.
And this represents 2025 to 2026. Right? Full fiscal year.
Yeah.
And the full fiscal year dollar is $19,597,831. So are you telling me that is the number as of July 1st, 2025, or June 30th, 2026?
It's the same thing, because no raise was enacted on July 1st.
But you're budgeting, you're budgeting the $19 million for the fiscal year in the
HR. Correct. Yep. Without a raise.
Without
The raise is in the budget. It's actually on page, do you have a budget document in front of you? It is page.
I do. What page? I have page.
Page 42 of the budget document.
Page 42. Okay, which line?
There's a line 75-198, city contractual obligation. That's the line where we budget for any potential contract.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, there's 500,000. Last year, there was 1 million, and that was for the police and the municipal contracts.
Okay.
And that is reserve for.
So within that, so what you're telling me is that the personnel budget for the fiscal year does not include the full budget.
There was no contract signed, so not knowing what the raise may be, we budget in the personnel supplement like there is no raise. It would be flat from...
But at the end of fiscal year 25, which would be the beginning of fiscal year 26, if you go back to that budget, that number is different than what you put there. So when you're looking at the budgets, it looks like there is an increase in the personnel budget.
So, okay, you are on page 22 of the budget, looking at the projected for the year end of 25. On 35-105, is that where you are?
I am at page 23 of 45.
Yeah, so that does say 17,842 projected. The budget the prior year for the same year would have been 19,400. So with 26 being was 19,500, that's a $100,000 difference. Is that what you're talking about?
No, that's not. See, it would have been really nice if we could spend the same number of hours that the fire department said gave us, so we can go over line for line. It's very difficult to do in 6 minutes, but I know that is your plan. Let me just move on with a couple of other items. Can you explain why OPEB is a negative versus a positive?
It's a deduction off paychecks, as you are aware, but also means we will contribute. You know, we have our required contribution through the actuaries for the OPEB. The plan is to offset that with this contribution. So it actually pulls the OPEB contribution down a little bit because this offsets it.
So that, to me, that says that you have already put money or you will put money into OPEB. And this will deduct from that. So make the numbers round. $500,000 city puts in, the firefighters put in half that.
Mm-hmm.
That would show a negative. But I don't see a contribution by the city to offset that negative.
The contribution for the city in the budget is over in, I think, 85 page. Page 44 of your budget document, line 85-196, OPEB trust funding.
Awesome. All right. So again, my question is this a decrease in what we've paid in the past? So is it truly a decrease or is it a increase on the employee's side?
I mean, it's both. There's the deduction that comes off employee checks, but like I said, that offsets what the city agrees to fund in OPEB.
Okay. All right. And can you share with me your approach to You say you didn't use a straight line of the 3.6438%, and you were able to take into account the SEP payments on page 47.
Councilman, you have 2 minutes.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Don't take that time because I have to repeat. So you are? You sure? Okay, I'm going to ask for 10 more minutes anyway. So the question is, your salary approach averages out to 3.6438%, pretty much first year, then 3.8953% the next 2 years. It's more of a straight line approach. You're claiming that you took it out at the personnel level that included the step increases. And the step increases would naturally be higher when you include them of the overall percent that you have for the increase in salaries. So my question to you is, how are the step increases calculated to in those dollars of $78,000, $87,000, and $90,000, when it just reflects pretty close to just a standard increase of the June and January?
1 minute.
So the way that I calculated this out, I did not take each individual employee and track out exactly where they were going to go on in their step. What I did was I did it in a bigger crayon approach and took the budgeted amounts with the idea that we have a younger group that have come in with the SAFER grant. I know the pile of retirements that are in personnel right now. So anybody going up a step is actually filling a vacancy going forward. So I did not use the minutia of taking exactly every single employee and figuring out what step they go up to every single second. When we prepare the budget, that is one of the steps that we do. So to double do that I did not find it material to go through each individual employee with their start date and their end date.
So what your administration, what the mayor's administration is claiming is that the rigidness that we are putting in on the school department to fix and to adjust for benefits, steps, healthcare, and all that good stuff is not being followed by the administration.
We absolutely do that through the budget process. We go through it with a fine-tooth comb.
Okay, well, we'll see you on May. Last question, healthcare. Why wasn't healthcare included? Did healthcare go down?
This contract does not impact the cost of healthcare.
Is healthcare increasing in cost?
Probably. It's in the headlines everywhere.
Yeah.
But the co-share remains the same.
Yeah,
so the contract does not change anything with healthcare, so it does not increase the cost. But of course, healthcare is an increasing cost.
So what you're saying to me is a fiscal note is not taking into account all of the implications to a budget.
The fiscal note is about all the financial implications of the contract. Mm-hmm. And the healthcare is healthcare independent of that.
It's independent of that.
Okay. It's relevant to our healthcare bids and all of that, but it is not. There's no change to the healthcare for this contract.
I'll yield. Obviously, we're not going to get anywhere with this person.
Time is up, Councilman.
Director, healthcare, from what personnel has recently told us, went up 8.6%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, healthcare,
yeah,
cost of healthcare did go up. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Gebhardt.
This is just the time for questions, right? We'll have the opportunity to speak again when this comes to the floor.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Chairman, welcome.
Good evening, Chairman. Good evening, Mr. President. Good evening to my councilman, Councilman Napa. My name is Timothy Howe. I'm a Ward 3 resident. Good evening to this honorable body. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, and to your staff and to the firefighters in this room. Before I begin, some facts I want to make clear and put out there as a point of open government. I served on this council from 2017 to 2025. During that time, I refused all city health care. I refused city-funded pension and did not receive such because I term limited myself to only 8 years, where to be vested, it requires 10. Why did I not accept the health care or the pension? Because quite honestly, I'm not a hypocrite. I refused to make the Warwick taxpayers pay for a family plan for a part-time worker. I do understand that there are full-time workers that commit their time and they put their energy and their profession and their qualifications on the line 24 hours a day in our city. To then complain that the city cannot afford health care for basic services. Local government has many responsibilities. One of its biggest is the safety of our citizens. When I served on the council, my number one call was for safety, whether it be traffic studies, whether it be rescue services, whether it be roads that this can be paved so that the rescue service can access the citizens. Not one phone call was called about the cost of health care that we are paying. I'm not saying it's irrelevant. I'm not saying it's not important. What I'm saying is we have a responsibility. Health care is a national issue. And yet, for some reason, here in this council, we just throw rocks at each other and at our employees and at the people who wake up every day and serve our citizens instead of conducting or calling it out to the federal government, to the people who are responsible for ensuring that healthcare is affordable and safe. Kind of odd I bring that up at this time during the federal government, correct? But to beat each other up in this city is kind of like I heard the conversation about we're paying for bonds. Just a little side note. When we're talking about the costs and the bonds of the schools, the Department of Rhode Island Education has a $2.8 billion budget. Not one employee at RIDE walks into our schools and teaches our children. But yet, we're going to fight and beat each other up in these council chambers. And you all are going to get accosted for thinking about the future of your children for $350 million, which is a big amount. But $208 billion, the federal government, $297 billion. Back to what we're talking about, these are the things we have to concentrate on. These are the things we have to look at as a city council. We have many responsibilities. We have always, and the city of Warwick has a high-rated city services of safety. Congratulations to the colleagues on the Warwick City Council. Congratulations to the mayor and to the great citizens. And a sincere and heartfelt thank you to the Warwick firefighters and the Warwick police, as well as the citizens that serve our country, whether our city, whether it be volunteer services or even the DPW city workers that are working, the people in the library, all the nonprofits. Wallet Hub named us the number one safest city in the country. We are first in the country when it comes to safety of our citizens. This is a direct result, the decisions that are being made here today. There are many factors, emergency in getting that Wallet Hub recommendation, emergency response was one of them. We want, we deserve, and yes, our citizens demand the best trained, best equipped, I have to open my paper now, and highly qualified first responders. To start the process, for 8 years that I served on the council, I would speak to the chief, I would speak to the previous chiefs, and I would say, what is the process? And honorable members of this council, I can tell you the process from application to being hired and being put on the force and with all the OJT is 1 year. 1 year it takes for a firefighter to get trained and then years of learning upon that. We cannot compare when it comes to healthcare costs, Mr. Chairman, We cannot compare, and Councilman Foley, thank you. You cannot compare healthcare that I may receive as an educator in a public school to the healthcare needed for the fire department. You cannot compare the healthcare needed for any contractor. It's different healthcare needed for the police department, different healthcare for DPW, different healthcare for this council. We are sitting in a chair and we are part-time, or the council are part-time workers. Every day a uniform is put on, and to wear that uniform, there's requirements. There are safety requirements, federal oversight, state oversight, training that is required, certificates that must be maintained. That burden falls on the city, that burden falls on the fire department. We are committed to the best trained uniform service that responds to structural emergencies, waterway emergencies, emergency transport, and we can't forget the big donut in Ward 3, Councilman Knapper, an international airport. They get so many calls on the international airport that, by the way, does not pay into our taxes. And as of a few years ago, I believe, cut $500,000 a year of pilot money as they built the cargo facility. So again, we put a big burden on these firefighters. We put a big burden on all the services in our city. But to the citizens are moving and flocking to the city by great numbers. When they said Rhode Island has the highest surgence of house costs, one of the reasons is the high demand in the city of Warwick. People are moving here because we are taking care of our citizens. That is your responsibility. I apologize if I'm going to sound repetitive, but I said waterways. Does anyone know the mileage of waterways? How many miles? Chief, thank you for verifying with this for me today. How many miles of waterways? 39 miles of waterways. So not only do they have to train on emergency response and on a fire, emergency response within the city, emergency response whatever functions going on in the city, they are responding to 39 miles of waterways. That's a lot of training. That's a lot of time put in. That is worth the investment. My initial motivation for running for city council was I did not want to lose the services. Besides wanting to have the roads paved, I did not want to lose the services. I like the services I pay for. I like that I make a phone call and there's a fire station within my ward. I like that we have 9 fire departments. I like that we have the best equipped, best trained police department. I like that my city services, when it snows, the snow is plowed, the garbage is picked up, and that's why I'm here. I'm not here. I'm no longer on this council. I'm here as a taxpayer, council chairman, as a taxpayer, as someone who wants to keep these city services going. With that, thank you so much for your time, and I ask you, and I implore you, approve this contract. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Always good to hear from you. Always good to hear from you. Anyone else from the members of the public would like to be heard on this? Any other members from the public would like to be heard on this?
I know, that sort of sounded like good old days.
Sorry?
That was sort of like good old days from last year.
Hearing none.
I move favorable action.
Second.
Favorable action to the floor? Okay. Yes. We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
No?
I said aye.
Okay. We have three. I'm sorry. I'll retract that. I will move favorable to the floor. Okay.
We're adjourned.
We are adjourned, and it is, sorry, what I forgot.
Just on the official record, there was a motion for favorable action. It was a 2-2 tie. It automatically goes to the floor with no recommendation.
It was 4-0.
You did change it? Okay.
Yeah, 4-0. Favorable 4-0 to the floor.
To the floor.
Four further. Thank you. We're adjourned. 8:37. Thank you. Does anybody see Phil? Anyone see Phil? You go first. You get the visibility right. There he is. My mic is dead. Well, it's dying. Don't tell him. It's dead.
All right, the full council will go back into session now at 8:47 p.m. First things first is the consent calendar, PCR 127-25, resolution relative to bids. This is finance, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Council moves favorable action.
For favorable action, you say you move it?
Council recommends favorable action.
All right. For action?
Move favorable action.
All right. And seconded by Councilman Muto. All right. And there is one item removed.
Correct.
That was bid 2026-229A, which is now PCR 129-25.
That's item number six.
Any questions on the bid package as presented, minus the one item that was pulled out? Any questions on the bid package as presented, minus the one item that was pulled out? All right, next is PCR 128-25, resolution relative to abatements. Again, this is finance, Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommended favorable action.
For second. Action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 128-25.
Second.
All right, and there was four items pulled out there, which are now correct. Combined PCR 130-25. Does anyone have any questions on the abatements minus the ones that were pulled out? Hearing none, clerk will please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Yes. Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto? Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
All right, next, the items that were pulled out. First, bid 2026-229A, now PCR 129-25. This is Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, Mr. President. That was the motion from the committee was to hold PCR 129-25 till the next meeting in November.
All right, the request is to hold till November 17th. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, so held. And the other item is PCR 130-25, specifically the abatements of Maynard, Mataros, the Pappas Trust, and Thompson. Councilman Lattiser.
That was, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. What was that one again?
PCR 130-25, which consisted of the abatements of Maynard, Mataros,
Pappas
Trust, and Thompson.
We have an abstention on that. I believe it was you, Mr. President.
Yep.
And move favorable action on the motion.
Second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded in favor. Any further questions or comments on PCR 130-25? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Recused.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 recusal.
Next on to unfinished business, PCR 93-25, resolution amending the rules of the Warwick City Council for the 2025-2026 term. This is intergovernmental. Councilman Gephardt?
Ask us to hold this.
Hold is requested till November 17th. Is there any objection to the requested hold? Seeing none, so held. Next is new business, PCR 108-25, a resolution in observance of Native American Heritage Month. This is public properties, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Foley. Any further questions or comments on PCR 108-25? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passed.
Next, we have PCR 126-25, resolution ratifying the collective bargaining agreement between the City of Warwick and the Warwick Firefighters, Local 2748, IAFF, AFL-CIO, for the period of July 1st, 2025 through June 30th, 2028. This is finance. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, Mr. President. The committee recommended move to the floor favorable for discussion on PCR 126-25.
All right. So first things first, before we can actually discuss it, we need a motion on the floor. So is there a motion on the floor, or does anyone have a motion in regards to PCR 126-25?
Motion to move favorable action.
Second.
Say that again. I apologize.
Motion to move favorable action.
There we go. Thank you. All right. Motion favorable action made, seconded by Councilman Muto. So for discussion, anyone have anything that has not already been stated? Councilman Gebhardt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't have any questions earlier, but that doesn't mean that I didn't have thoughts. I've been through a number of these contracts now, and so given that we have four members of the body that are going through their first contract, I wanted to kind of echo some of what we've heard in the past and some reasons to see some light at the end of the tunnel for the future. So before we get into the details, I just like to thank the members of the administration of the local for sitting down with myself and answering all of our questions. I appreciate that very much. I think it's important to address the, or at least to acknowledge the concerns that are raised by several of my colleagues about healthcare costs, retiree obligations, bond ratings, and the city's long-term financial health. These are real challenges, but they're not new, and this contract didn't create them, nor will rejecting the contract solve them. I went back and listened to the municipal and police contracts from January of this year, into the fire contract from January of 2023, and the same talking points came up in each of those that we've heard again tonight, that healthcare costs are unsustainable, that our debt threatens our bond rating. We didn't hear this one tonight, it was on my bingo card, but that a state takeover is imminent, and that we've already reached the point of no return. But in each case, when we've heard those statements, this body went on to ratify fair contracts. We honored our commitments, and we continued to improve our financial position, including what we have included tonight, which is meaningful progress on our OPEB liabilities. I was digging through the city's audited financials, which we just had the auditor come in at our last meeting. City's bond ratings with Moody's are A1 and with Standard & Poor's AA. Unless they're missing something, maybe they weren't paying attention to the 10 years ago presentation where the train was off the tracks and we were past the point of no return, but it does not seem to be echoed in their evaluation of our fiscal stability. Also, usually we hear something about the city's net position, which if you flip through the city's audited financials, the city's net position increased by almost $50 million in fiscal year 2024 and $20 million in 2023, which are all signs that the steady hand of management in the city is bringing us to a better place. Would we like it to move faster? Sure. But we didn't get to where we are in a matter of 1 year or 2 years or 5 years. We got here over a long period of time, and the plan that's in place will take time to arrive at. If we want to talk about a fiscal crisis, the fiscal crisis would be failing to ratify this contract. It would stall the momentum we've built on stabilizing OPEB. It would send an uncertain signal to the workforce and to the bond rating agencies, and it would risk undoing the predictability that's been key to our recent progress. Fiscal responsibility isn't about saying no to every agreement. It's about managing our commitments wisely, and this contract does exactly that. On the wage side, it's a fair, measured plan. 13.25% over the life of the contract, just over 4% annually. Structured, not spiked, it's designed for predictability, right? We smooth it out over the years. Inflation has come down from 4% in 2023 to 2-3% today. And national compensation growth for public sector workers remains about 4-4.5% annually. So these raises fit right in line with what the rest of the country is seeing in terms of year-over-year wage growth. One thing, so back at the last fire contract, one of the requests that I had made was this comparison table of the of Warwick Fire to all the other cities and towns across the state. And they did a really nice job. It was former Chief of Staff Aaron Mackesy, I think, took the reins on that, but had a lot of help, obviously, from the rest of the team. It's a really helpful tool. If it hasn't been disseminated again this time, I think even though we're going to vote tonight, I think it's a useful tool just to have. It probably needs to be updated as all these municipalities go through additional contracts. But one of the pieces, so what you'll find is that Warwick Fire tends to be towards the top in terms of pay, but continues to make contributions to the long-term benefits that are part of their package. Nearly 15% is contributed to retirement costs. That's that one-third, two-thirds plan that we have that Director Kaiser talked about last time. And that's a much more balanced share than you'll find in a lot of other Rhode Island communities. And so, you know, to what the chief and to what the union president have said, I'm sure he said it to you, but one of the things we talked about when we had lunch was that, you know, you'll get a new recruit who will sign on in Warwick because the number on the job offer looks great. And then they get their first paycheck and it's deduction to deduction because a big chunk of that pay is going to offset the, you know, both generous, but also contributed to benefits that are part of that package. So I'll just close by saying that we've heard the warnings before, yet the city has continued to meet its obligations, maintain our services, and improve our financial standing. The true risk and the true financial crisis would be to walk away from progress and stability when we finally have both. The agreement's fair, keeps Warwick on the path of fiscal stability and steady governance. So I would urge my colleagues to support this agreement tonight. Thank you.
Councilman Foley.
Seeing no new lights, I call the question.
So there's, once everyone's getting a chance to speak, absolutely. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So to briefly address that, the last couple of years, say 2023, 2024, S&P 500 returns of over 20% each of those years. Recently, the city had the benefit of tens of millions of dollars in one-time ARPA funds, as well as on the school side, getting those one-time ESSER funds. Tell you what, if we continue to get ARPA funds forever, and we continue to get 20% you know, these stock market booms with 20% plus returns for the S&P 500 forever, yeah, our problem is solved. Or the federal government comes along, passes universal health care, that solves OPEB. That's a silver bullet right there. I think Harry Truman was calling for universal health care in the 1940s. There was an effort in the 1990s with Clinton. They tried under President Obama. Didn't happen. Let's not count on a silver bullet to save us. Let's not count on there never being a financial downturn in this country that severely impacts the pensions. I mean, that's why we don't look at just last year's returns when looking at the pension funding in the first place. That's why you look at the returns over an extended period of time. And so, sure, last couple of years, Warwick's financial position, it's on the right trajectory. But you know what? There's a crash, or we start doing average. Looking at the average, the city is digging itself deeper and deeper and deeper into the hole here. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I was not the one who came up with that technical term past the point of no return. That was a technical term that the accounting firm, the actuaries that the city previously hired were using to describe what would happen if the city continued on its trajectory of raises and not changing the structure or contribution to benefits, that even if we had 4% maximum tax increases every single year, the city would still go bankrupt and the employees, retirees, would have the rug pulled out from under them in retirement and not get the full pension and the retiree health insurance that they were counting on, contractually committed to by the city. And so let's take a longer term look at this. I can tell you that it is absolutely unsustainable for the city of Warwick, which has an annual budget of under $400 million, including the school side, to have nearly $1 billion in unfunded liabilities. That's the underfunding of the liabilities as it stands right now. And it continues to get much, much worse with just average stock market returns and the like, to the tune of tens of millions of dollars every year. The hole keeps getting deeper. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I'm not going to lie to you and pretend that, oh yeah, everything's fine. That would be easy for me to take the easy way out on this and say, oh yeah, you deserve this. Let me put my signature and stamp of approval on it. Oh yeah, it'll all be there for you in retirement. But I don't know that.
Council, please refrain from saying the same statements you made prior.
Okay.
Please don't be redundant.
I'll move on. So there was a comment earlier, and I actually texted, I hope that you don't mind, texted a little with the union president. And, you know, I should have had a better choice in words when using the word dangerous. The union president, he enlightened me on that. I was not thinking in that context in that moment, and so I apologize. I don't want to make light of a situation here. I will tell you that in my day job, I see people and I represent people who they're staring down eviction. They're looking at medical debt. They're trying to pay the bills. And so in my day-to-day life, when I'm talking to people and seeing these kinds of struggles, that's something that, that's what scares me in my day job, is hearing those stories, and it's very real. And I don't want that to happen to anybody here, that they are counting on a certain income, they're counting on this insurance being there in their retirement, and then the city turns around and says, we overpromised, can't do it. Receiver says we don't have the money. And I'm not confident that we can avoid that unless, through the collective bargaining process, we make some of these larger changes to make sure that we're shoring up those funds. And we have a fully baked plan that's looking at both sides of the ledger here, not a half a plan that, oh yeah, if we have the money, then here's the plan to pay for it all. Well, wait a minute. Where's the money? Let's go back to having those five-year forecasts. I'll yield the remainder of my time.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, we can talk about it all night or all week or all month that doom and gloom is been talked about and it's not here, and this fiscal failure is not here, it's never going to happen. You know, I think it's more like it'll never happen on my watch. And there's a big difference between whether or not reality is going to show up. And I think it's pretty easy to understand that if you continue to run up credit card debt and all you do is pay the interest, at some point in time, you're going to be bankrupt. We talk about pain. How about the pain on the taxpayers? How about the pain on our senior citizens? How about the pain on our veterans, on our homeless? And it seems like, here we go again. Yeah, you're right, here we go again, because I've been saying this for years. I voted no on the municipal contract. I voted no on the police contract, and not just once. And I made it clear years ago that I would not vote in favor of any contract that does not increase the costs of the copays on healthcare, increase the cap on prescription drugs, eliminate the lifetime health care for new hires. I never said a word about taking health care away from anybody. That was never said, was never discussed, and it is not accurate. Blue Cross recently announced that they are going to be discontinuing lifetime health care for their retirees because they can't afford it. Well, I also have to stand tall in front of my constituents. Those younger folks, the older folks that live from paycheck to paycheck, that are not experiencing a 34% salary increase over the last 6 years, that don't have the benefit of free lifetime health care when they retire, who are going to have to pay the bill for this, what is projected as a $350 million school project. And we'll see if everyone is still in denial when that comes to be. We can sit here and say that, you know, wonderful things are happening, and I don't disagree. Wonderful things should happen when you have $38 million of COVID money to spend on things that other administrations and city councils didn't have the benefit of having. And it was a good thing, and it was spent. And for the most part, I voted on it. There's just things in this contract that are not sustainable. What is going on with some of the items that either are not happening or not recorded, I don't think are sustainable. And for all those reasons, I will not be supporting this contract the same as I voted no on the previous contracts. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who has not had a chance to speak that would like to? All right, so seeing none, I'll give my two cents and then we'll call the vote. First, the usual spiel that I look forward to not having to make one day. OPEB remains a viable method of, or rather, pay-as-you-go remains a viable method of handling OPEB. It's not necessarily a wise method in the long run. And thankfully, with that in mind, both the administration and the union have chosen to agree to pre-funding and to continue that effort. But it is unfair and inaccurate if anyone attempts to state that pay-as-you-go is not an accepted method. It is, it has been for decades. Again, it's not necessarily the preferred method or the best method, which is a perfectly fair point. Before I forget, I do want to mention that I would like, between now and next fire contract, whether I'm here or not, for it to be discussed as part of the negotiations, the concept of the going back to internal training, because there seems to be a correlation with not just what was mentioned, but also with the rise in overtime, likely due to having members poached post the external training. And this was an issue in other unions before too, and this was switching to internal training helped a great deal. So odds are it would help here as well. I'm not saying I demand it or anything like that, just would like you all to consider that and talk about it wherever which you choose to. To echo at least what I think I heard Councilman Gebhardt mention about the warnings of financial doom, I've been hearing it since before I was on the council, that any day we were going to go under. Never happened. In fact, quite the opposite. Things have picked up based on almost every metric that we are doing better than ever. And it is odd to hear others state otherwise. It is fair to point out there are costs on the horizon, such as the new schools, absolutely. But it would be somewhat foolhardy to pretend that the administration hasn't prepared for that. And as a reminder, this vote is not a yes on the contract or no, go renegotiate. It is a yes on the contract or no, go to arbitration, which has a cost involved. So even if arbitration is utilized, which would be fascinating for the arbitrator to have an agreement before him that both sides already agree on, but blowing by that part, even if we come back with the same agreement, as in the arbitrator didn't make it worse for us, we'll have spent six figures or more on litigation for basically for fun, which is not a fiscally prudent use of city tax dollars. I understand that people may wish to have more involvement in the process of negotiation, but that's how that would get done. More involvement in the process of negotiation, not derailing a contract when it's only up for us for ratification. And that may be so bold as to suggest that greater involvement in the negotiation process will likely, hopefully, come about in the long run, if and only if we can demonstrate that we actually should be in the negotiation process. And the saying the sky is falling every year for a decade is definitely not the way to achieve that. And for those who are wondering what I mean as far as part of the negotiation process, I'll happily address that elsewise. It's not part of today, unfortunately. But I don't need to state the obvious, but I'm going to anyway. The contract, for what it's worth, is a good one. It's on parity with the police. People have stated what their expectations are going forward when it comes to OPEB and otherwise, which is both the wise and prudent course of action. And clerk will please call the vote. Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
No.
Fantastic. On to referral and advertising, PCO 28-25. An ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Anthony Albanese, Bridge Group LLC, applicants 9 Post Road, Assessor's Plat 291, lots 31 and 32. And PCO 30-25, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Alexander and Courtney Bucci, applicants 85, Tollgate Road, Assessor's Plat 246, lot 191. On to unanimous consent. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? Seeing none.
Since there's no further business in front of this honorable body, I move to a docketing session.
Second.
Thank you. Just wait for this to run. All in favor of going to the docket session?
Aye.
All opposed? By the way, if I get to you and you can't hear me, just wave frantically. Ward 1, docket. Ward 2, pass. Ward 3, Ward 4, Ward 5, Ward 6, Ward 7,
pass.
Ward 9, and then I have one special election. Special election being docketed for intergovernmental. Special election. All right, seeing as there's no further business, we conclude at 9:19 p.m.